my lovelies. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is Paisley Wild, and we're off adventuring into the spaces between. We are being broadcast live on Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and TalkStream Live. Now, if you are listening in on YouTube later, please make sure you do hit that like and subscribe button. And also check us out. We do have a podcast. We can The Spaces Between can be found on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and a couple other places too. Just look us up. Now, no matter how you are hearing me, please do say hello. And I just want to thank you for joining me here on my spiritual journey, and I hope that you want to continue learning with me. If you're looking for a way to support the show, I do have an Etsy store, and as we add more products, check them out. There will be a link included in the show comments, or you can find me at www.etsy.com/shop/monarchmtnstudio. Alrighty, so we have been just kind of discussing a lot of the groundwork and the foundational aspects of being a pagan or a witch in today's society. We've gone over tools, we've gone over the calendar, and we're just slowly getting a little bit more information and a little bit more groundwork before we move into the different pantheons. So tonight we're going to be talking about crystals and stones. So it's you know, what crystals or stones are used for various rituals, grounding, boost of power, if that's what you're looking for. And just some of the different techniques, of course, for cleansing and just different ways to use some of them. This is a very short list, of course, because there are a lot of stones out there and crystals, and they can be used in a variety of ways. I'm just going to be talking about some of the most basic ones that are commonly used or that we see often. For as far as stones go, I am generally wearing an opal of some sort or carrying a blue lace agate or tiger's eye just for my personal preference for stones and crystals. Occasionally, I will have just a clear quartz point. You'll see those really often if you are looking for wands, pre-made wands. There will very often be some sort of crystal such as a quartz tip to enhance the energy of the wand or the potential of the wand. Speaking of quartz, it's generally just very clear. It's very one of the more versatile stones or crystals. It's great for protection, healing, and clarity. Now, rose quartz, of course, can be used to promote love and romance, but it also helps with things like anxiety and depression. Amethyst is a very protective stone and does seem to have some sobering effects with certain personalities. Selenite provides clarity, and if you're someone who has a lot of bad dreams or your kids have night terrors, it may be something to add to their room, or like if you've got a dream catcher, that may be a place to hang some selenite. Hematite is often used for grounding, protection, scrying, just looking for visions. Tiger's eye has also been used for seeking visions. Obsidian is for scrying and protection. And agates are generally considered the workhorses of the stone and crystal world. Now, before we dive into those, I do want to let you know we do have the call lines open. So if you want to share your thoughts or want to talk about stones and crystals at all, please give me a call at 213-233-3998. Or if you are overseas in the UK, please call 44-203-393-2871. All right. So just to dive right in, some more about the different crystals that I just talked about. Quartz or clear quartz is second only to feldspar in being the most common mineral on Earth right now. It's found on almost every continent, and because it is very, very common, the cost involved is generally very low. And it is, like I said, very versatile. The name itself comes from the Greek derivative of krustalos, which means ice. Now, just a real quick side note. I'm going to be talking and bringing up some Latin names and or Greek names. And if I totally bugger those names, I'm apologizing up front. If you know how to pronounce them and want to call in, please do so. Otherwise, I'm just going to do the best I can. Unfortunately, paganism, witchcraft, we really don't have a hooked on phonics version. just got to figure it out and memorize it. Now, crystallos or quartz was thought to be ice that was formed by the gods. And since the Middle Ages, spheres made of this particular crystal have been used to predict the future, just like, you know, crystal balls. And almost every witch or pagan that works with crystals and stones will have at least one piece of clear quartz in their collection. So if you do have someone who is on the pagan path that you want to buy presents for, quartz is a good one. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. And quartz does come in just a lot of different varieties, but it is generally considered a pure quartz, mostly because it is colorless and very transparent in nature normally. Now, there are other crystals that are considered quartz also. Some variations could be like amethyst, onyx, bloodstone, but those occur when there's certain silicon atoms are replaced with other elements. Getting into the science of it just a little bit. Now, when should you use a clear quartz crystal? Like I said, it is very versatile. So if you don't have a particular stone that you need for a ritual or a spell, clear quartz is often a very good alternative. And just scientifically, quartz is generally considered just a very strong crystal to send, receive, and store energy, not just physically, but also metaphysically. So it can amplify that energy. And it's also really good for protection and healing spells and providing clarity. So if you're, you know, maybe doing some dream work or astral protection and you're wanting some clarity, maybe having some crystal quartz on hand would be just a real good tool to help you with that. As I mentioned, if you've got someone in your life that's on this path, clear quartz really is considered the first essential crystal in any pagan or witch's collection, just because it is so versatile for dream work, meditation, divination, or even just general healing purposes. The next one to talk about is rose quartz. And just, you know, probably guess just in the name, rose quartz is pink quartz. The color is caused by just real small amounts of titanium in the crystal when it was formed. And the color range often begins at a pale pink and goes into a darker rose, to almost a rose red. And it can occasionally have a light purplish or lavender cast. Rose quartz is considered just the stone of universal and unconditional love. So you'll often see hearts of polished pink quartz or stars. And it's just a gift to signify love. And so if a witch has a craft or a specialty that emphasizes love or self-love may have several items of rose quartz available, and they may use them in different rituals to enhance that sense of self-love. So if you know someone who's feeling a little blue, maybe some rose quartz would help as a pick-me-up, because it does promote love, of course, self-love, friendship, inner healing, and feelings of peace. So anybody who's maybe had some grief or a rocky relationship or just really feeling down or having anxiety issues, you know, rose quartz may be something to carry with you or to wear on a necklace to help alleviate some of that. Now, rose quartz does dispel a lot of negativity and protects against emotional pollution. So if anybody's ever been to the mall or in a crowd, you know that there's a lot of negative emotion out there, especially in our society right now. So that rose quartz will really help you protect against some of that unnecessary energy pollution that might be surrounding you. Now, if you do deal with some mental illness like anxiety or depression, rose quartz can really give you a focal point on your road to recovery or managing it a little bit better. Now, do you remember, I'm not an expert, I'm not a doctor, so these are just recommendations on the esoteric side. or metaphysical side. So do make sure you're consulting with your medical professionals before you make any real wild changes to your healthcare regimen. That's my public service announcement. So moving on. Next, we're going to talk about amethyst. It is, of course, another quartz variant, and it gets the purple color that's generally apparent in amethyst from gamma rays that were, you know, absorbed by the crystal during formation. And it is often a dark purple gem with a red undertones, but it really does show up in various shades of purple. It's often associated with air and water elements and the planet Jupiter. So the word amethyst itself comes from the Greek word amethystos, which means knot, and methisko or methio, which means intoxicate. So basically it means that amethyst was once thought to prevent you from getting too drunk when you had a little too much mead or wine. And also amethyst in traditions, it was often given for a 6th-year anniversary and for hand fastings or marriages. Amethyst is also associated with your crown chakra, and it's just another really good positive stone to help you with protection, enhancement of your psychic abilities, and also some stress relief. So amethyst, of course, is just a very protective and powerful stone then. It can help you as a natural tranquilizer. So if you're having a hard time sleeping, maybe wearing a necklace with an amethyst stone on it or a bracelet might help you. Or if you're going to be in a stressful situation, maybe wear an amethyst ring or as a bracelet with amethyst stones on it, because it does kind of help with some of that stress that we deal with every day. It can soothe your irritability if you're kind of dealing with stuff that you don't necessarily want to deal with. It can help balance some of those mood swings. I know as ladies, when you're starting to approach menopause, maybe you want to help with those mood swings just a little bit. And just in general, it can help, you know, handle or modify any rage or fear or anxiety you might be experiencing from different situations that you're in. Now, amethyst can also activate your spiritual awareness. So some of that modifying that it's doing on your emotions is partly because you're becoming more aware of your inner spirit, because it does impact your intuition and it does impact your own psychic abilities. So you're just feeling yourself a little bit better, and often that gives you just a little bit more control over your own personal energies. Now, psychics do often use these crystals to help soothe energy, which can, you know, help during readings to help guide those intuitive senses that they may be using. Now, I'm not sure about it being really effective when it comes to sobering you up a little bit if you've had a little too much on a Friday night, or middle of the week, or your lunch date, or whatever. But it can help you become a little bit more focused. And sometimes that's really what we need, is that extra focus. Now, it has been shown to enhance some memory. So if you're having a hard time remembering things, or if you're studying for a test, maybe having some amethyst with you would be just a big helper. And it's a good stone. It's very, very pretty. In the Middle Ages, interesting side note, the Catholic Church believed that not only did amethyst help people stay sober, it would also help priests remain celibate. So apparently there was a lot of goblets made with insets, amethyst inset or rings or just jewelry in general. I'm not sure that really helped. But, you know, that there's that mythos that's often associated with various gems and crystals. And, so there's just a side note. Selenite is our next one. It's a crystalline variety of the gypsum mineral. Now, gypsum is generally found in things like sheetrock, but selenite is much more pleasing to the eye. Now, if it gets wet, it will revert to gypsum. So selenite is one of those crystals that you should not cleanse using water. It kind of dissolves. If it's when it's dry and it's just in its crystalline form, it's generally transparent and colorless. Now, the word selenite itself is from a Greek word for the moon. And you can just kind of tell because the name selenite is derivative of Selene, which was considered or is considered one of the moon goddesses. Now, other names for selenite could be gypsum flower or desert rose. And even though it does generally come transparent and colorless, it can also be in gray, green, brown, and orange. Often if you're seeing it in like a gem shop or an esoteric shop or at a rock and crystal show, the points are going to be tumbled, so they're smooth, so you'll see points or sticks, and the sticks are just points without a point. And they're used, again, often in the making of wands. So selenite, when it comes to our practice and our rituals, can really help with that clarity of your mind and expanding your awareness of yourself and your surroundings. It does help open your crown and chakras. So it helps you access some of that guidance that you might need from your spirit guides. It is often used to deal with issues that wax and wane with the moon. Some of our mood swings, again, ladies and men, or just, things that happen cyclically. Often, because it is associated with the moon, it's women who are trying to get pregnant, who are pregnant, might wear selenite to help ease some of the emotional roller coaster associated. And it's a crystal that's often used to help access past lives. And so it just really taps into that inner consciousness. And it'll help you, really find that inner peace you need to tap into yourself for meditation or spiritual work. Now, if you are someone in authority or management, it can sometimes help with judgment and insight if you're hearing a case or trying to help mediate a situation. It often will clear some confusion and aid in seeing just the bigger picture, what's really going on. And if you're using amethyst in tandem or with amethyst, it will often free you from some of those really bad dreams, those night terrors, and really help you narrow in on the good dreams and that might have a psychic connection, or you're trying to do some of that lucid dreaming that we had talked about last week. Our next one to talk about is hematite. Now, it's a form of iron oxide. It is the oldest known iron oxide mineral in the world, and it's pretty much everywhere. Now, hematite is generally black or gray or silver gray. It can be kind of a brown or reddish, depending on how much it's oxidized. And the name itself, hematite, is derived from the Greek word for blood. And this is due to the different red coloring or variations that you might find in the natural stone. This is associated with the planet Mars, and the elements of fire and earth, going back to the brown and the red coloring. And it's often used for protection stuff and is associated with your base chakra. So hematite's often used, of course, for grounding and protection. It'll help strengthen your connection with the earth. It'll make you feel a little bit more safe and secure. So if you're having some of that anxiety issues or just a lot of stress, often you need some help grounding to dispel some of that negativity. So this may be a stone to have with you when you're trying to ground. It also can help with some courage and your strength. So if you are feeling tense or nervous about a situation, this may be something to wear. hematite on a necklace, a chunk of rock, is something you can wear going on an airplane, and you're not going to get in trouble for it, unlike some other forms of contemporary protection. It's also considered a stone specifically for the mind because it does enhance some of that concentration and focus and memory. Now, in ancient times, or Romans would often carry one, a chunk of hematite for luck, and or they would crush the rock and smear the powder on them when it's approaching a battle, because they felt that hematite would help make them invisible and more successful. Now, did it really? Probably not, but it gave them that courage or that belief that it did, and which gave them a greater strength in battle. They set the intention when they're applying the hematite. That's why I talk about intention so often, because what we're intending to do is something that's almost as important or more important than the words that we put to a ritual. Now, hematite does utilize your inner magnetic qualities of your energy to help balance you. Not just your physical system, but also your nervous system. And will help you to kind of focus your energy for both between your mind and your body and your spirit also. And if you're going to be in a situation where you're around a lot of crowds, or not right now so much, but in a couple months when we're looking at Christmas shopping, I would wear this a lot in the mall when people are getting a little crazy. Because it does dispel some of that negativity that you may see and encounter, and survive that a little bit better. It can help you overcome some compulsions and addictions. So if there's something you're struggling with, like quitting smoking, hematite might be something to keep in your pocket. And it also helps repel stress. So again, if you're trying to change your lifestyle or get rid of some of those bad habits, this may be something to carry with you. Now, hematite can have a bit of a glimmer to it, or a shine or sheen. So some people do try to use it for scrying. And when they're doing that, they're really trying to see into the future and promote those positive habits that they're trying to get rid of, or to replace a negative habit like smoking or drinking, or you know, binge eating when you're bored and don't have anything else to do. So It's a good stone also to just meditate with. The next one I wanted to talk about is tiger's eye. Now, tiger eye is another type of quartz. It's been influenced by asbestos, actually. And it's really kind of a yellow to brown. It's got a lot of stripes in it, sometimes white, sometimes darker. And it's just a really pretty, pretty stone. It's often found in like Austria or Africa, and it's often just the chunks are tumbled so they're smooth to carry in your pocket, or or they're cut to be set in just settings for jewelry. The stones, eye stones like tiger eye, have often been considered like strong talismans to wear, because it felt that, or lore, legend, implies that the person who carries a talisman of tiger eye can see everything around them, even things that might be behind closed doors. Like Egyptians, ancient Egyptians used tiger eye to carve god figurines to represent divine vision. And just on the magical side, tiger eye is a pretty good stone to promote wealth and money. So if you're trying to do a money spell or a wealth spell, including tiger eye may be a good thing. And then for healing, tiger eye is really good at soothing your inner turmoil. And it's just a very optimistic stone. So if you're feeling a lot of negativity, it's something that'll help you kind of focus on some of that more positive stuff that you're trying to visualize as you're trying to soothe your inner emotions and angst. We are rapidly approaching the bottom of the hour. So we'll be back in just a few. We're going to continue talking about stones and crystals, and also during the break, if you want to check us out on the Etsy store, it's etsy.com/shop/Monarch Mountain Studio or Monarch MTN Studio. Also, we do have the podcast on iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So we'll see you in a bit. So thank you again for joining me here on my spiritual journey. And we are just talking about gems and crystals and some of the impact or ways to use stones in your practice. And we were coming up on obsidian is our next one. Now, obsidian occurs as volcanoes erupt and that lava flows. But the lava is very thick and in a limited area, so the obsidian ends up being very black and glassy. It's very lustrous. It's very easy to distinguish from a lot of the other volcanic rocks because they're much more rough and abrasive. And the magma would have to be pretty silica-rich for obsidian to occur. It's generally very smoky and translucent. Now, the edges can be grayish or mahogany, and it's also very sharp if it breaks. If it has small kind of flower designs, it's called a snowflake obsidian. There's some obsidian forms that seem to have kind of a sheen to it. Those are called rainbow obsidians, excuse me. Now, it's often found in areas like in California, Oregon, Wyoming, Mexico, Hawaii, places where there's a high incidence of lava. Now, the name itself is derived from Latin. It's called obsio. And polished pieces of obsidian have been used for scrying for a millennia. It was often used in primitive cultures for chipping and flaking into knives or spearheads or any other tool that might need a razor-sharp edge because it's like glass almost. Now, obsidian is often considered a very protective stone, and it's associated with the inner mysteries of the goddess. It symbolizes an entrance into the labyrinth or the womb or your subconscious self. So if you're looking to meditate, it may be something to carry with you. Now, because of it, it does have some very good protective qualities. It's good. It's a good stone for those who are considered soft-hearted or gentle because it'll help guard them against, some abuse or negative attacks. It's also supposedly really good for those who are exposed to environmental pollutants. It's just a repels a lot of negativity. Now, obsidian can also help prevent some emotional draining by others. So if you're going to be in that crowd of people that you don't want to deal with, it'll help protect you. Now, it's also very good to bring both your body and mind together. So it's a good stone to carry if you're looking to do a lot of grounding and meditation because it kind of brings your spiritual energy and the physical plane together. And it just reduces your stress. So snowflake obsidian, it's the black obsidian with the snowflakes or the white splotches on, a contrast, it shows or demonstrates a contrast of life. So it symbolizes it's just the mastery over the physical plane, which is shown in the black, and the white symbolizes the purity of that's inherent in all of us in our innermost soul. So if you're looking to meditate, again, snowflake obsidian might be really good because it'll help kind of clear your mind. Now, the next one to talk about is kind of a big one, agates. It's very You think it'd be just a real simple thing, but no, agates are really the workhorse there of the stone and crystal world, because they are very reliable in the way you can use them and the versatility of agates. And there's a big variety, just like with quartz. Agates in general can promote grace or good health, happiness, longevity. Sometimes it can help with remembering things. And they're also considered protection stones or inheritance stones. So if you're looking to make jewelry or have jewelry that you want to pass on to your descendants, that may be something to include. And they can are supposed to really help sharpen your sight and illuminate your thought process. So if you're on a vision quest, perhaps having agate with you will help in that discovery. Now, banded agates generally enforce your strength or reinforce your strength, excuse me, and help provide a little bit more protection if you're sensitive, and can help give you a little bit more courage if you need it. Black and white agates help with physical danger. So for those that are military or law enforcement, perhaps a black or white agate may be a good piece of jewelry for them. Lace agates, they help with depression and despair because their energy is very circular and it flows. Now, it doesn't protect. Instead, the lace agates generally encourage and support and help build your inner strength. A blue lace agate is something that you could wear for peace and happiness. So if you're feeling just really happy with yourself or having just a really good day, blue lace agate will really help enforce that and help calm your mind and wash away any of that mental clutter that I can't talk, to help you, just really enjoy the happiness of the day. Now, Mexican lace agate can help with your attitude and give you a little bit more positive outlook on life. White lace agate is considered a happy stone. So if you're feeling pretty down, white lace agate may be something to wear a bit more. Same with an ink lace agate. Also very good to help offset some of that negativity that you might feel. A moss agate is generally associated with your crown chakra, and it helps connect the spiritual and physical aspects of yourself, and it helps protect your aura. So if you're feeling like you may be having some of that energy that you have drained in a work environment, moss agate might help. It can also help with emotional pain. So if you're going through grief or emotional trauma, to help deal with that. And it can also help connect with your spirit guides. So if you're looking to meditate and connect with your guides, having a moss agate with you may give you some assistance there. Now, some people do include moss agate in their gardens or their potted plants because they help with your plant's health and growth. A plume agate can help with your visualization. So if you're trying to achieve certain goals, or trying to find a new job, a plume agate may be something to carry. Now, one of our biggest questions that we encounter when we talk about crystals or gems or stones is, how do you use them? Now, crystals and stones can be used for meditation, divination, astral travel, sleep, lucid dreaming, healing, magic itself. They're just very versatile. Before you use any of them, make sure you're educating yourself on the different qualities and characteristics of a particular stone. And before you use them, also make sure you're setting your intention correctly so you have the correct stone for the work that you're trying to do. Now, where do you buy them? Where do you get them? Well, often in your community, there's going to be esoteric stores. There could be gem or rock stores specifically. I know like here locally, we have a gem and rock show, I think this weekend down in the Coeur d'Alene area. Or, just look it up. There's rock hounds are everywhere. You can even go find them. I know here in Idaho, you can go mining for garnets and sapphires, and you can find opals. And so there's just a wide variety that you may be able to find locally. In our local rivers, you can find quartz all day long. When you're out and about hiking or you know, traveling or vacationing in the summer, you know, you're going to come across all sorts of various gift shops with rocks and crystals. Go ahead and buy one. It'll be a good memento for the event. And it'll get some esoteric benefit out of it also. Now, you can buy some of your stones online also. So Amazon is a good one. eBay. Different boutiques also locally or online. Just you Google. Google's your friend here. Now, how do you store your crystals? This varies a bit. So the ones you're using often or you're working with often, maybe something you want to wear. If it's in the form of a ring or a pendant or some other jewelry type of that you've had created or you've purchased, you wear them or you can display them, whether it's on a jewelry stand of some sort or in your altar or part of your altar, from your rearview mirror even. You don't want to just put them away in a box because they'll be forgotten and you won't use them. So some of your healing crystals, though, you might want to store in a medicine bag or a mojo bag, depending on your tradition. And you can put them in with your plants or on your altar or in your windowsills or in your bathroom. You know, just different places where you may need help circulating the energy through your home. Now, be cautious, though, when you do put them in your windowsills, because sunlight can cause your crystals and your gems to fade or change color just in that direct sunlight. Now, when it comes to cleansing or charging your crystals and stones, often they're going to be dirty when they come into your possession and when you get them. For those that can be in water, just clean them with lukewarm water and just basic gentle cleanser like dish soap if there's dirt on them. Now, a lot of crystals must also be cleaned or cleansed metaphysically. You can do that using moonlight, some sunlight, the dark of the moon. Just depending which one it is, you're going to want to do a little bit of research and make sure you're using the right cleansing practice for that particular stone. Depending on how strict you are when it comes to your stones, if someone else touches them, you may want to go ahead and cleanse them again just to make sure that, you know, everything's taken care of and any negative energy that another person might have had is washed away. So you can breathe gently on a crystal while you focus on your intention. That can cleanse it. You can use some salt water to soak your crystal. Now, if it's a cracking or modeling to the crystal, you may want to avoid the water. You can use candles, like if you light a white candle, which does represent purity. And you can do a small ritual to cleanse your crystals or your stones using that candle. You can say a prayer, some chantings, blessings, drumming, soak in sunlight, moonlight, or again, putting them in potted plants can even cleanse some of that negativity from the stones. Now, you can tune the actual energy of a crystal or gem just by touching it and moving that stone from one hand to the next. And we will talk about energy work in a later episode. But this kind of is a part of that, because as you move the stone from one hand to the next, you may feel, you know, the energy of the stone. It may tingle your hands or cause your skin to itch slightly or feel an ache or pressure to your hands. And this just means that your body is becoming attuned to the energy of the crystal or stone. And you're binding or bonding yourself to that stone. Now, again, each crystal does have some sort of pre-programmed energy in it just from its creation. So you want to make sure your intention is correct before you work with a particular crystal. And then it will help amplify and resonate the energy that you're trying to work with. So while hold both the crystal or stone in both hands, breathe deeply in through your nose and out through the mouth and onto the crystal. You do it for about 3 minutes or so. And as you do this, you're really connecting your intent with the inherent qualities of the crystal and activating the energy within it and tuning it to you. So whether you're using the stones like an amethyst under your pillow for good dreaming and restful sleep, or if you want to carry something in your bag or pocket, you know, or place the crystals around your plants for growth, or even keep them next to your computer to absorb some of that electromagnetic energy. You know, keep them where you can see them so they can inspire you and help you through your day and stay on your path. Now, if you're going to meditate with a crystal, you're probably going to want to work with the same one each time because it will attune to you and the way you're working. And you'll, as is using a specific crystal as a focal point, you can often reach that deep meditative state a little bit more quickly. And the crystal can be used to amplify your thoughts, your wills, your intention. And once you've made that solid connection, everything's enhanced. It just, the process is faster and the process is stronger and you benefit more from it. Now, if you're trying to do healing with crystals, you want to make sure you have a quiet mind and you're really meditating on the integral bits of the inner healing. So you'll want to clear your mind, set your intention before you do your meditation, something you should be doing anyways. Now, as far as healing goes, healing with crystals and gems, that's been done for a millennia. Multiple cultures around the world have used gems and crystals to aid healing within the body. Now you're going to want to trust your intuition. Try to get some guidance and some training before you get too in depth with it, because you don't want to go down the wrong path or use the wrong stone for a different healing process. With a little bit of guidance, you'll be able to get it and you'll feel comfortable doing this. Now over time, you're going to develop a certain style or rhythm that's unique to you, just like any other doctor or nurse or practitioner that helps with healing. So you're going to just want to embrace that and know that's just the way you do it. Now, remember, crystal and gemstone healing is not meant to replace traditional healing. It's not a cure for everything that ails. It's complementary to your current your treatments. And now the more you work with crystals, the more you'll become attuned to their subtle energies. So you may want to use a wand to help focus that energy. Now if it's rounded at one end and pointed at another end or the other end, it'll help focus the energy out and away. And it can be used to recharge the energy in your entire body. So if you're feeling drained from being out in those crowds, or you know, if you're traveling, you know, just driving along, you may need some focus to help recharge. It may be something you need. Now, crystal healing does clear a lot of blockage, those energy blockages that we develop, the stress of going to work every day, or finals week is done and over with, graduation is happening, all of those stressful times that we're dealing with right now, you know, the crystals can help clear that energy. Now, you can keep a journal where you write down everything you've used a crystal or gem for and the properties associated with it. And how is it affecting you? What's happening? That's often something that you'll want to focus on because you may feel different connections with different stones. Just like we might, as we diet, we may want to keep a food journal, or if you've got a pain disorder, you may want to keep a pain journal or that kind of thing. You know, journaling what you're using will help you further your craft and your practice. Because some crystals and some stones just are not going to work as well with you as they might work with another person, or you may need a different a tone or texture to the stone. So it's just kind of a work in progress. You're going to take some time to do it the right way, some practice. Now, there are other stones that are used often in witchcraft and on the pagan path. So celestite is often considered to be something that helps folks travel or astral travel. And diamonds are generally considered to have the ability to amplify other properties in other crystals. So it's not necessarily diamond will help you focus it yourself, but it'll help another stone to amplify it. Galaxite is also considered the aura stone because it's has shown to help balance or protect your aura. Lepidolite is a stone that contains a lithium, so it's often for help balance moods, just like lithium is often prescribed for those who deal with a bipolar disorder. So lepidolite may be something to wear or assist to balance those moods. Now, meteorites, you can use those also in your craft. And it's just a way to connect with the universe's energy. I mean, hello, it dropped out of the sky. That's a good one to use. And then a pink manganocalcite is considered the Reiki stone just because it seems to have an ability to really increase a healer's powers or focus or energy. And it's just kind of just really cool. Now, other stones that you may hear of would be like a hagstone, which is just a stone. It's got a naturally occurring hole that has been bored into it from the process of water, you know, running across it or sand or rocks rubbing against each other. There's a lot of mystical qualities associated with hagstones, but they're generally just a river rock that you might find with this naturally occurring hole. Supposedly, if you look through one, you can see into the world of the Fae, which is different from the world of the fairies. And it is also, if you're wearing it as an amulet around your neck, it's considered a protective stone to protect you from like hexes or curses. So do some research on that. Hagstones are pretty doggone awesome for a tool. And then I think got time for about two or three more stones before we're done for the evening. Oh my gosh, this hour is going by fast. The next one I want to talk about is the moonstone. It's kind of a silvery to bluish color to it. It often is found in like India or in and also in Colorado and California. It has a cat's eye often when it's polished. And now moonstones are generally used or revered because it has a lunar association to it. The shine of it is was assumed to follow the phases of the moon. And it's also it's considered a very feminine stone. It's associated with the goddess. So if you're meditating and you have moonstone with you, it helps you call into your consciousness the three, like Diana, Selene, Hecate, the three-faced goddess, the maiden, the crone, and the mother. Sorry, my brain is just shutting off. It's towards the end of the night. So it's just a really good stone for meditation if you're trying to connect with the feminine nature of magic. Let's see. And then I think I had a question about what's a good stone to purchase for a teacher. You know, moonstone would be a good one. Lapis lazuli is a good one. It's a little bit more rare, though, so it may be a little bit more expensive. It's generally found in the Middle East. And it's the ancient Egyptians used it as a aid at childbirth because it would help with an altered state of consciousness and it might help you go into a trance to alleviate some of that pain. They also ground it up and used it as a pigment and dye for their daily dress. And it's to attract spiritual love also. which I don't know about that, but if you're looking to, you know, connect with your guides or your ancestors, you're trying to draw their attention to you, and, you know, lapis lazuli may be something to use in your practice. It's also associated with your brow chakra, to help cleanse and move your energy through your brow. Labradorite is a silicate. It's often a gray, green, or bluish color. Sometimes it's striated. And it's another just really pretty crystal. It's helps you elevate your consciousness and connect with the energies of the universe. So during your meditation, or if you're looking to astral project, maybe a labradorite may be something to carry with you. So do your research. You know, if as you're looking to add things to your altar, or things that you want to wear throughout the day, or as part of just your daily life, you know, what stones are calling to you? Use your intuition a little bit. Don't be afraid to go into an esoteric shop or go to a stone or crystal fair, just because you'll be able to see all of these different gems and crystals and stones, and the ones that call out to you, they're doing it for a reason. And it may be something that you need to research and find some more information on. There's a lot of info out on the web. And, you know, Google's going to be your friend. Make sure you do research in a couple different places. That way you get the best information possible and kind of combine that information to one cohesive thought. So I want to thank you for joining me tonight. If you do have thoughts or ideas for future shows that you'd want to share, please email me at wildpaisley@gmail.com. That's WILDEPAISLEY@gmail.com.